This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Spoiler alert! What Did You Watch This Week is a candid discussion about recent movies and TV shows, and it may contain spoilers if you haven't watched them yet. Listen at your own risk.
Welcome to episode number 97. What did you watch this week? My name is Mike.
Mike, we're up to 98.
Shut up. It's 97, isn't it?
You said 97, and I told you it was 98. I specifically said this is episode 98.
Okay, whatever. Episode 98. Is it really 98?
No, it's 97.
Okay, all right.
You missed the back and forth right before this, just before Mike hit the button. He's like, are we up to 98? And I'm like, no, it's 97. He's like, okay, 97. All right. So.
So was it 97 or 98?
It's 97.
You're fucking with me.
I was fucking with you. It is 97.
Dick. All right.
I'm John.
So this is shows. Yeah, everyone knows. So this is shows that that were prior to February the 4th is what normally we would do, but fuck it. I'm going to talk about This Is Us anyways.
Yeah, I still haven't watched the most recent one.
I guess I'm not then.
Yeah, go ahead.
It'll ruin it.
Well, we did the Super Bowl episodes.
The wife and I watched them both.
Okay.
So, anyways, but otherwise, I watched all our accompaniment of shows except for Blacklist. I couldn't get my NBC app to work. But otherwise, I watched all our shows and I don't know. It's kind of a real blah week.
It really was. Like, I found myself on my way over here thinking, like, boy, I'm not going to have a lot to talk about.
See, this ain't going to take long.
No.
Because
you could say, like, oh, what's Supergirl?
Nah.
Yeah. You know, it wasn't a terrible episode, but
no.
A lot of the episodes this week were like that. The real highlight of the week was Altered Carbon, you know?
Oh, yeah. Did you finish the series?
No, I'm still halfway through it, but
I have finished it, and I really enjoyed it.
I've been really enjoying it myself. My only – it's not even a complaint. It's just like a nitpick.
Yeah.
Was watching the first several episodes, I felt like the show was really in love with its own world. Like,
yep.
It really, really, really was – kind of like you were talking to me about the Dune book. You know,
yes.
How the guy had the glossary of terms and
good Lord,
you know,
yeah.
All that stuff. It almost felt like the first several episodes were like, look at our world. Look at how pretty it is. Look at how good it, you know, and they kept talking about sleeves and they kept talking about how this person did this and this is what we do now. But, you know, it really came through. That's the thing. It's like it could be in love with its own world, but still do a really friggin' good job.
Yeah, I mean, the concept of it's really cool. At what, 1 year old, you're implanted with a device. They call it a stack.
Yep.
It's in the base of your spine, neck and your spine. And it essentially, it allows you to have all your memories downloaded in it. And if anything happens to you.
Personality, apparently.
Yeah. And if anything happens to you, they can take your stack. Even after your physical body dies, your stack can be put in another sleeve, which is what they call people sleeves.
Yeah.
It's almost like on Supernatural meat suits.
Right.
They can put it in another sleeve and you can continue living in this other body.
Yeah.
And if you're rich enough, you can actually clone your own body so that you have just sleeves of yourself sitting around. And so you have some people on the show that have been alive for 300, 400 years.
Right.
In their own bodies. You have others that have been on the show for a long time in this world for a long time that are in a different version of themselves. Like your main character is named Takeshi Kovac.
Yep.
Who is an Asian Slovak. And
couldn't quite follow the lineage there, but that's okay.
And he is
in a very Aryan sleeve throughout.
Yes. He is, 250 years ago, he's in prison for crimes, and this very rich, influential man gets him out of prison, puts him in a new sleeve because he wants him to solve his murder. Because this guy was found dead, and they're able to put his stack into a new sleeve, so he's still alive, but he wants to know who killed him.
Right.
And some people think he killed himself and that he's too arrogant to admit it. But he thinks
was the cult leader from The Following.
Exactly.
So
yeah.
You're like, who did he live all these years as a cult leader?
And then he himself believes he was murdered, and he wants this Takeshi Kovac to solve his murder because Takeshi Kovac is an envoy.
Yes.
And an envoy is a person who is a highly trained.
He's a particular set of skills.
Yeah. He's a highly trained fighter.
Yep.
Who has the ability to just incorporate himself into whatever surrounding he's in and make himself one with the surrounding and the people in it. And, you know, they learn to basically, wherever they are, get a lot of people to be their befriend them and work for them. And they're just used as kind of pawns, employees, and human shields, if you will,
yep,
to get whatever job is they need to get done.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't they also say that, like, the envoys and certain people who were skilled enough could just transfer their stack remotely to somebody else?
Yes.
Like, they could wear any sleeve like that?
Yes.
Without having to go through the whole process?
Also, they almost type of, like, a clairvoyance, if you will, where they can be in a scene. Like, in the very first episode, we see him display it, where there's these soldiers coming to get him, and he's taking cover, but he can see, and using his heightened senses, he can almost see where they are, so he can just, boom, turn around the corner and shoot his gun and hit the target he wants.
He's like, 12 of them are coming. We've got 3 seconds before the bomb goes off. Yeah.
Right. So that's why, and he's the last envoy, because all the envoys were killed, allegedly, or, you know, they discussed.
Allegedly,
yeah. So he's the last envoy. And essentially, the story is of him in this new world adjusting, which he does rapidly, but he's an envoy and that's his job. He's in a new sleeve, and it's him trying to solve this case. So it's a murder mystery, essentially, that's done in the future with a lot of sci-fi.
A lot of sci-fi.
Yeah, and they establish some other characters in the story as well. Like, one character is an artificial intelligence that runs this hotel he stays at.
Which is really cool.
It is cool as shit.
I love Poe, and I love the whole...
Like, yeah, the hotel is...
behind-the-scenes kind of thing with other AIs.
Yeah, you know? Like, the hotel is called The Raven, and the guy calls himself Poe, and it's obviously all based on Edgar Allan Poe. And he runs this hotel, and, like, Takeshi's his first guest in 50 years. Because no one stays at AIs.
Right. They don't like them. They're creepy. Yeah. And
so it's
they become obsessed with their...
Yes. Yep. Once you become his guest, he will take care of you.
Which was really awesome to watch.
If you could just touch here, because essentially...
10 seconds.
Their DNA is what they use to pay. It's essentially like they scan their finger, or if they need to spit on something,
right?
And it registers. That's how you pay. It's like you are your debit card, which it seems like we're getting there.
I was just gonna say that can't be that far off.
But yeah, I mean, it's a really great show. I know you haven't finished it, John. So but they do a great job telling the story of Takeshi now trying to solve this murder, plus flashback seeing him in his original sleeve. Leading up to his imprisonment and the other backstories involved, you know, with this, you know, just love stories, his family, everything going on.
And the thing is, too, like, one thing that we didn't touch upon was that your stat can be destroyed.
Yeah.
Either by blunt force trauma to the back of the neck where it is, which seems like a design flaw, but or getting hit in the head with an energy weapon, which most of their weapons are energy based. So either one of those will fry a stack, and then you're gone. Yep. Like, that's permadeath.
And there's people that just have no fear of dying because, like, especially rich people, because they know they can just be re-sleeved.
Right. And their stacks are, like, uploaded to the cloud, essentially.
Yeah,
like, they keep uploading every hour. And that was the whole thing with this murder, was, like, it was 10 minutes before his next upload. So he doesn't remember the 50 minutes before that.
Exactly.
And he did some deal with some people, and he doesn't remember any of that.
So I thought it was more than 50 minutes, but regardless, they upload to the cloud and every so often, and then he got killed right before his upload. So he died right before his upload. So he doesn't remember what happened, which is why, because otherwise, like, someone could be murdered and they could fire up their stack, if you will. And so they can testify at who murdered them and be a witness to their own murder. And then if they're lucky enough and their family can afford it, then they can get a new stack. And, like, also this new sleeve. Sorry. Also, we learn in this, like, there's one kind of, like, and they touch on it really, really quick in one of the opening scenes or whatever. But, like, people and we see this throughout, like, when they're put in a new sleeve, like, when their family sees them, it's like they see something in their eyes. They know it's them. And it's weird when you watch people look at someone who's not their old family member, but they're, you know, treating them like they are.
It's got to be that it's been happening for so many years that people have adapted.
Exactly, yeah. But like this old lady comes out at the, you know, it's in the first episode. This old lady, when Takeshi comes out of where he is, where he's been re-sleeved, this old lady
in prison.
Yeah. This old lady comes out and she sees this Asian woman. It's this old white lady. And she's like, "Mom." And then they like run and hug each other. And the husband's like pissed. Because he's like, this our six-year-old daughter was killed in a hit and run. We're entitled to a free sleeve. And this is what you give us, an old lady? And the guy's just like, ah, take what you get. Or you can put her back on the shelf till we find something else.
Right.
You know? And
she's like, don't let me go back to the dark place.
Yeah. So it's kind of like, all right, that's screwed up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's – so that concept in itself is cool.
Yes.
And I like it. It's original.
It is very original.
You know, it's different.
A lot of people are saying, oh, it's the next Blade Runner. It's not really.
No.
Like, I've seen some reviews that say, oh, this gave me all the stuff that I was looking for in Blade Runner 2049 that I never got. It's a futuristic world. It doesn't mean it's Blade Runner.
Right.
You know?
Right.
It doesn't have to be the same thing.
But I really enjoyed it. I look forward to you finishing it so we can talk about the ending.
Yes, I've been enjoying every bit of it so far.
But I really enjoyed it. And, yeah, that's the most passionate thing I have to talk about this week.
Yeah. Trailers.
So other than trailers, yeah. And then This Is Us. I have a lot of comments about that. But just
– like I said, Supergirl, like, honestly, I don't even – like, without looking at my notes, I don't even remember what the episode was about.
I'm sitting here trying to do the same thing. Like, I was kind of doing, like, all right, so what happened on Supergirl?
Like, I remember that Flash was Honey, We Shrunk Team Flash because we had the shrinker guy, and it was so on the nose that even the guy in the show, even Goldberg, was like, oh, so suddenly you decide to take up my case and you just happen to find the guy who, you know, wrongly accused me and got me put in here?
Yeah, exactly.
Isn't that a bit of a coincidence? Yeah, everything seems to happen like that for us.
Yeah, but essentially Flash was another story of Barry in jail and helping Goldberg get out of jail, but then he can't, so he whips him off to China, so he breaks him out of jail.
Yeah.
So, here, you're a fugitive now, bye. I'm going back to the prison.
That's exactly what I thought. I'm like, yeah, here you go. Make the most of your new life until they catch you. Yeah. Hope nobody else heard you talking about this remote villain.
Yeah, it's like someone who gives you someone else a pet for a present. Oh, here's a chore for 15 years. Yeah. Oh, thanks.
And it's going to end in tragedy, just so you know.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. This pet will die.
Future heartbreak.
Yeah, so that's
kind of cleaning its shit.
That's what Barry basically did. And of course, you know, they put in a secret camera Barry didn't see. And now the warden knows that he's the Flash. So he drugs him. And then now he's going to sell him to.
Okay. How did that warden come up with a drug cocktail? I mean, Cisco had to create some kind of alcohol to get Barry drunk because his metabolism moves so fast.
I saw the same thing. Yeah.
I'm like, what the shit is this?
Yeah, the warden should not have been able to drug him. He should have burnt right through it. And the warden's been like, what's wrong? And Barry's been like, see ya.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he can phase through shit. So no matter what they do, he's getting free.
Yeah.
I don't know. But the warden's going to sell him to Katie Sackhoff's character.
So I'm glad they keep bringing her back.
I'm glad to see her back because I'm a huge Katie Sackhoff fan.
Absolutely.
And then the other story, like you said, they had people that this guy would shrink down objects to put in his collection, and he shrank Elongated Man and Cisco.
Yeah. But apparently his power, no matter what he does, shrinks and enlarges because, you know, they tricked him into shooting Harry with the shrink.
And enlarge them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Shouldn't it have shrunk them more?
Harry had to invent something out of thin air this episode and did. So, I mean, like, we're dealing with some second, you know, third level geniuses that we'll never be able to understand.
And
who conveniently have,
Yeah. And then also, you know, we're dealing with yet another villain introduced and
defeated,
shuttled away right as quickly.
Oh, and Harry, by the way, is extremely angry that Flash is in jail, which seems odd to me
because
it never seemed like they were that close, and he seems a little too aggressively angry about that.
Yeah, like he's always had anger issues in the past, but it was usually, you know, like trying to protect his daughter or trying to protect his world.
But this one, he's being protective of Barry, which just seems out of place and odd.
Yeah, not just that, but it's like, are you literally just looking for an excuse to be angry?
It feels like it.
And that's just lazy writing, in my opinion.
Oh, and then another backstory was, what's the
Oh, Cecile suddenly has
psychic powers. She can read people's minds. And they're equating it to, like, a woman, because she's pregnant, and she must have some, like, you know, dormant, you know, dark energy in her. And so because she's pregnant, it's coming forward, kind of like gestational diabetes.
Yeah, I love how they threw that in there.
Yeah. Oh, and they went and saw the same therapist that Barry and
and she's like, are you making a grocery list? And she's like, no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was a little funny, but
yeah.
But otherwise, you know, Flash was Flash. Supergirl, though, like we were just saying.
I just cheated and looked it up because I honestly couldn't remember. And it was the stupid thing where, like, the rich people were getting targeted for assassination. You know, Edge's car took over. The automatic car took over and tried to run him off a cliff. So then he blamed Lena, and then she got poisoned.
And then he says, well, he allegedly tried to kill Lena.
Yeah.
And then they end up getting Edge arrested at the end, and Lena's mother goes.
Because Lena's mother shows up with the Lexo suit.
Yeah, yeah.
Iron
Man.
Yeah.
Iron Man. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Arrow.
Fuck Arrow.
That's kind of how I feel. I don't think Lethal Weapon was on this week.
Nope.
Okay, good. Want to talk about Blacklist?
Yeah. Blacklist, I did kind of like what you did with This Is Us. I had it on the NBC app, and it, like, went right from one episode into the next one. I'm like, all right. It's nice to see the Blacklist getting back to going after Blacklisters.
Yep.
You know, the episode here, I'm trying to remember the order that they went in. The episode that I watched first, I believe, was called The Cook. And, yeah, is that good?
I just took a drink of Diet A&W root beer, and it's really cold, and it just tasted so good.
Oh, nice. Sorry. It's nice when it hits you like that, right?
Yeah. And all I can think is that episode of Black Mirror, every time the guy took a drink, he'd go, and it eventually
pissed her off
really bad. Like, do you have to make that noise after every drink?
And he didn't even realize that he was making the noise. Yeah, okay. So the first one was The Cook, and it was this guy who would cook people alive. Like, not the stew maker, but he just, like, he would incinerate people. And it's just, again, it's nice seeing it get back to Blacklisters. And Elizabeth's off doing her thing, trying to figure out who Tom's killers are. Whatever. You know, just keep her in the background. The second episode was called The Invisible Hand, and it's basically a group of PTA moms and dads who also work as, you know, social justice vigilantes.
It's just the term social justice. I hate the fact it's even been invented in our society. Just throwing that out there.
Hangry was just added to the dictionary. So
Hangry
was added to the dictionary. God. Yeah. Again, you're going to watch it, so I won't go into too many details. But great stuff. We get to see, okay, you remember the mailman guy that Red partnered with because...
Yes.
He comes back in a big way. That's nice. I like him as an actor.
Cool.
I liked him on Neighbors. That was fun. Yeah.
Let's get to our half-hour situational comedies.
Yeah, which I added one this week.
Oh, you did? Nice. The Good Place.
All Done.
It was all done this week, right?
Oh, is there one more?
This week, I think, is. Maybe it's not. I don't know. But basically...
I'll look.
Well, the judge who Michael sent, you know, they decided, all right, we're going to send them. They called the episodes called Someplace Else.
Yeah, they said, let's come up with something different.
Yeah, and so the judge and Michael essentially sent them back to their lives to see if they would have, like, and prevented them from dying to see if they would have become good. And Eleanor, at first, looks like she's trying her best. So episode 12 is the final episode?
Yep.
Okay.
But they've already got two episodes listed for season 3, so.
Nice. So Eleanor is trying her very best to be good, but just by herself, she's too frustrated, it's not working. And Michael shows up and kind of plants a seed of, hey, go see Chidi.
Yeah.
You know, plants a seed that leads her to looking up something online that leads to a video of Chidi, and then she eventually goes to, was it South Africa, I think it is, to see Chidi, and that's how the episode ends.
Yeah.
So I'm okay with that as a season finale.
Yeah.
I was like, what the hell are they going to do? This seems interesting.
Now, do you think that they actually put them back to life, back to the moment before they died, or do you think that this is like a
simulation? No, this is another simulation.
Okay.
I think this is a simulation. Okay. Yeah.
Well, because the reason that I ask is because, remember, Michael and the judge had that whole discussion, and she's like, what about the precedent that it sets? And he's like, it's only four humans. It'll be okay. Nobody will notice. And so I didn't know if they were, like, alluding to them really bringing him back to life or not.
I mean, maybe they did, but I feel like unless they just don't address it, there'd be too many situations of them touching other people's lives.
Right.
What if something they did caused someone else to die?
Plus, the whole thing is that these people are supposed to be dead. So, like, right. What would we be doing? Waiting for them to die again?
Right. So, yeah, I thought it was great, though.
I did, too. I thought it was good. Like you said, it was a great way to end it.
Yep.
Because, once again, just like last time, if it ends, you know, last time they ended on the reset.
Yep.
And you were like, oh, that's cool. If they ended it here, I'd be fine.
Right.
Right now, they ended it on these two meeting up, and if they said, it's been canceled.
If we didn't get another season, it'd be like, shit, I really like the show, but all right, fine.
It's a good kind of cliffhanger.
Yes. It's not an angry kind of cliffhanger.
Yes.
Superstore. Which will still have like another half a season, it feels like.
Oh, my God.
I don't know. I thought it was hilarious.
Yes. Dina on bed rest.
Yeah.
Of all the people, like, you would think that she'd be up and running around.
Yeah.
But the moment she gets into, like, that tranquil space, and she's just out. Like, that's it. She is unconscious, comfortable, peaceful, relaxed.
And I like when Glenn, like, well, you should really get back to work. It's like, oh, no, I don't think I can. I feel something in my stomach, like, sliding around. You know, and he's like, oh, okay, you just sit right there. And then when he shows up the next day and she's sleeping on the couch at the store.
Yeah.
Did you even go home? Oh, geez, I guess I didn't. You know? yeah, Amy can't date.
Huh? Amy can't date.
Amy cannot date. No. Nope.
That's tragic.
Yeah.
And once again, we get to see the pharmacist, who is one of my favorite characters.
He is great, yeah.
Holy God.
But here's the thing. You notice when Amy is, when he finds out that Amy is hooked up with the pharmacist,
yeah.
It bothers Jonah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So he clearly still has feelings for her, even though he's with Kelly.
He probably has some feelings, but it's also the whole, you know, I'm perfectly happy when they're not with anybody, but then when they're with somebody, it's like, wait a minute, I wasn't done playing with that toy.
Yep, yep.
I loved Jonah and Kelly's announcements more than I thought I would.
I thought it was going to be really annoying at first when they were doing, like, you know, live with Regis and Kathy Lee.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, live with Jonah and Kelly, but yeah, it was funny.
Yeah, it ended up being good. But they started bringing on guests, and everything. Yeah. They've got the coffee cups, and they're just like, all right, well, let's talk about this now.
Sandra, you are from Hawaii, and you're afraid of water. You're afraid of the ocean.
Yep.
Yeah, it's really terrible. And so you moved from Hawaii to wherever, St. Louis, or wherever it is are. Some
St. Louis, yeah.
Really, that's just so surprising. Like, I don't know. I love how they.
She says she's never been in the ocean. She's never been to the ocean because she's afraid of it.
Yeah,
but she lived in Hawaii.
So I finished up watching season two of The Detour, and then I watched the first episode of season three, their introduction to Alaska, the one where we're basically, like you already talked about, no one cares who you are. Or who you were before. We're all here for a reason. Everyone's hiding out.
Yep.
But all I know is our new roller coaster tech is going to save the people on this ride. You know.
And yep.
I thought it was great. I went to go watch the second episode, and all of a sudden now my TBS app decided to fail on the tablet that night. So that was annoying. But
the second episode's going to annoy you. It's going to annoy the hell out of you.
Yeah.
Because one of the running themes throughout it, jokes, gags, themes, whatever, is the whole gender neutrality.
Oh, that is probably.
And I know that you don't like that, but you know.
I think it's stupid. I do. Sorry, everybody.
Well, yeah, they take it over the top because, you know, like Jareb is dating them. He's like, who's them? And he's like, you're dating two people? And he's like, no, I'm dating them. Well, what do you mean them? Sam. Okay. Sam and who? Just Sam. Oh, so you're dating Sam. Sam. Yes, I'm dating them.
Yeah.
What do you mean? Because Sam doesn't identify as a binary gender,
yeah.
A binary gendered individual, you know, and it just keeps going through that. You know, at one point, Nate's like, you know, this is like, who's on first? He goes, what? No, he's on second. What?
Oh, God.
Yeah. And he's like, never mind, you're too young for this.
Kind of reminds me. Okay, so I watched the most recent episode of The Good Doctor, mm-hmm. and it dealt with a 12-year-old boy who identified as a girl. And was basically got testicular cancer because one of all they blamed it on, huh? Because
he's a boy.
No, they blamed it on the puberty suppressant drugs that he was taking.
Oh,
because she wants to see. I'm going to go back and forth on the show. It was a she. She wants to turn 18 and have gender reassignment surgery. So she doesn't want to get an Adam's apple, hair all over the body, and the deep voice and all that stuff that comes along with being puberty through a boy. So they dealt with that a lot in this episode because, you know, I can't think of the lead character's name, but the guy with the autism.
Yep.
He was like, no, no, you're a boy. Your DNA is XY. It's not XX. You know what I mean? So, like, he was cut and dry on what a boy and a girl is. And so they dealt with that on that episode this week. And I actually thought they did really well with it as far as how they explain things. Because to him, he was just like, no, you can't say you want to be a girl when you're a boy because you're biologically you're a boy. It's all that matters. And other people on the show is like, well, no, but she identifies as a girl, so we call her she. And he's just like, no. You know, and then they kind of explain. They do a lot of stuff with him where, like, I don't know a lot about autism as far as I've never dealt with it in my life like other people have. However, from what I understand of it, some of the things that happens with him – like, wouldn't happen if you had autism. I know he's a high-functioning autistic, but, like
well, that's why they call it a spectrum, is because it is so... Yeah.
It's just, like, almost like what I know, like, just being touched. You know, like, he allowed this one girl, Leah, to hug him, and he enjoyed it type of thing. And, he, you know, and then he kissed her in one episode and whatnot.
And then she went away.
Then she went away. But it's just there's different things where, like, I've kind of read online where people are just like, no, if he really had autism, he wouldn't do that. So obviously they take creative license and liberty.
Yeah, but like, also people are trying to say that autism is one particular thing. And it does.
You're right, it's not. But, like, at the beginning of this episode, he was like, no, you can't be a girl because biologically your boy doesn't make sense.
Yep.
And then by the end of the episode, after talking to her throughout the whole thing, he refers to her as a she.
So
he's changed his opinion,
gotcha.
Even though biologically she's still a boy. And so like that, so I wonder like how much creative license they take or liberty they take with that.
And I see what you're saying.
But I don't know. So they dealt with that on this episode this week. And I thought it was done really well and it didn't bother me by any means. I also watched Law and Order SVU.
Yeah.
I'm all caught up on that show this season. It's a pretty decent season. Mm-hmm. Nothing I'm going to go into great detail about because it's nothing overly special. I almost feel like they're like, well, once we get 20 years in, we're done type of thing. Kind of like they did with regular Law and Order.
So they're just phoning it in.
Well, they're not. I think I remember in years past them having some really, like, great episodes. And, like, in this most recent episode, they dealt with a person who, I think her name was Martha Cobb. And essentially they deal with a lot of politics in this one and liberalism and protesting and social justice warriors and on and back and forth. And
your favorite people.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. My favorite people.
As I mentioned, I added a new half hour comedy. It's okay. It's called AP Bio.
I saw a preview for that. I actually kind of want to check it out.
Yep. It's not bad. It's not in the vein of Superstore or The Good Place, as far as I'm concerned. The story is that this guy, the main character who was also on It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Okay.
He is a Harvard-educated philosophy professor. Very famous, powerful philosophy professor. And then, as we learn throughout, he had a meltdown.
Yeah.
And so he's now it's like Ohio or something like that, living in his dead mother's house. And he's working as the AP bio teacher. And he does not want to. He thinks that he is way above this and that these people are beneath him. But he needed some kind of a job. And this was the only place that would take him. So he goes right in and tells them all, you know, you're in AP bio. We're not learning AP bio. And he's got a nemesis, you know, which is the other Harvard professor who got all the breaks and wrote a book. And everybody loves him. And he's popular and blah, blah, blah. And
gotta have a nemesis.
Yeah, so that's interesting. It's not bad. It's not great. If it was canceled tomorrow, I wouldn't care. But the first three episodes were up online on Hulu.
Oh, wow.
And I watched all three of them in a row, and I had some good chuckles, had some enjoyment.
Yep.
Yep.
Good.
Yeah.
The X-Files. episode Ghoulie, and it's written by James Wong.
Yep.
Which James Wong, Glenn Morgan, they were a big team together back in the original run. They also did Space Above and Beyond. Yeah, I remember watching that show.
Yep.
So this was written by James Wong, and I thought it was a great episode. I thought, to me, this harkened back to the original X-Files run. You know, we got an actual case they're investigating.
Yep.
We had Mulder talking about conspiracies.
Yep.
That was fun.
Yep.
We had, you know, Skinner calling them and being like, you know, you need to come see me, and then being like, F off, Skinner.
Mm-hmm.
And it cuts to the cigarette-smoking man in Skinner's office saying, like, let them go. It's just the old school way of how they did a lot of things. The cigarette-smoking man just being like, you know what, just let them go. They're closer than they've been. Or,
yep.
I don't know. So I really enjoyed it because of the fact that it felt like an old school episode. Like I said, complete with Mulder's conspiracies. The only difference was Mulder and Sculler. I just combined both their names twice. Great. Scully is a believer like Mulder is. Mm-hmm. And that what's makes it a little bit more interesting, actually. The episode in itself, they find William.
Yeah. But that was the weak part for me.
But William doesn't know that he's their parents. Yeah. And he's able to, because he's an alien human hybrid, he's able to disguise what he looks like as somebody else so he can get away.
But he can also psychically project onto other people. That's the whole thing in the beginning.
Yeah.
These two girls meet up that he's dating both of them.
Yes.
And they meet up and each one of them sees the other one as this ghoulie creature.
Yeah, this
and
monster.
They attack each other with knives. And
he made it up.
Yeah.
To play a joke on both of them, which kind of makes me go, did he really make it up to play a joke on him? Or is he
a psychopath?
A psychopath who made these two people kill each other or try to kill each other.
Right.
But either way, the episode itself as a whole, I enjoyed. I thought it was great. Nice throwback. Storyline wise, I thought the storyline was good, but you're right. Their son, is he crazy?
Yeah.
Is he sociopath?
Right.
And with powers,
it was a little weak for me because, you know, I understand that William is kind of a linchpin to this season because, you know, he created last season or whatever. But it was one of those two convenient kind of things. Oh, the next case that we investigate happens to be him. And then we get that whole touching moment at the end where he appears to Scully as an Asian man because now does he know who she really is? And he's like, you know, I bet you would have been a good person to get to know. And then he leaves and they see the security camera. It's really him. And they're like, oh, my God, it was William. And cut to black. Not bad. This is terrible. But it was a weak point for me.
Gillian Anderson said she would do no more X-Files after this season. And Chris Carter said, well, with no Gillian Anderson, there's no new X-Files. However, now, just recently, I just read, like yesterday it was, he's actually now said, well, we can do more X-Files without Gillian Anderson.
They did it without Mulder.
And it wasn't very good.
No, it wasn't.
However, I think if they did it with Mulder, I think it would be great because I love, Scully on the show and I love Gillian Anderson, but ultimately Mulder's the main, you know, linchpin, if you will, of the whole series.
Yeah, because as we saw, when he's gone, it falls apart.
It really did, yeah.
Like, there's no point when you don't have the crazy wackadoo conspiracy theorist.
Yeah.
And they tried to make Scully into him
and when it didn't
he
work.
Was gone. No, it didn't work at all.
It didn't work at all. And I liked Agent Doggett, but his accent on the show was horrible. Mulder. Sorry, but it kind of drove me nuts a little bit.
I could tell.
So I'm almost done.
I was looking at it's been a busy week for me.
It's been a busy week for me.
Work and but there's a lot of shows on my DVR that I haven't watched because I wasn't, I'm like, what am I going to do? I'm going to talk about it and pass it kind of thing.
Right. So. Shield?
Shield. This was another, dip of an episode, I felt.
Yeah.
Like, they're gearing up towards them going back.
Yeah.
Which will be in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
So it was, the last push out the door, let's get everything in. And the whole Cassius taking whatever that was, Kree heroin or whatever.
That makes them all crazy.
And his eyes leak.
It's like they're on PCP. Yeah.
Little Kree angel dust. Really, he has all these guards. He's always been so cool, calm, and collected. And now he's like, now I'm going to show you my real Hulk side.
Yeah, and then gets killed pretty quick.
Yeah.
After fighting Mac.
Yeah.
Who Mac thought, he saw Yo-Yo be murdered.
let me flip around. Yo-Yo with the no arms.
Yeah.
So I remember, and I think that I talked about this on the show, that Mac and Yo-Yo as actors were quoted as saying that, you know, finding out who the prophet was for Cassius was like mind blowing.
Yeah, I didn't find that mind blowing at
all. No,
no. It wasn't really a prophet. It was just, I remember shit.
Yeah, I remember shit because I lived through it. And so he chained me to a bed, but also cut off my arms so that I couldn't do something. I don't know. Like, and at the elbow, it wasn't even like right up at the shoulder. It was just like at the elbow. So what? Like, how did they feed her? Like, did somebody come in and like, oh, here comes the airplane?
Yeah. It was kind of weak sauce for me.
It kind of was.
And then Zeke's dead.
Yeah. Yeah. Like,
He's been so selfish this entire series, and now he's going to sacrifice himself for everybody else?
I'm tired of the last minute conversion sacrifice people that they throw. So many things that, you know, we see show up all the time in these shows.
Remember the movie House of the Dead, where every single character sacrificed themselves, even when it wasn't necessary?
Right. Right. Like running down an empty hallway and being like, we've got to lock this door. Click. It's locked. I'll stay here and barricade it. Why? Yeah. Nobody's coming. Yeah. It's locked. Just keep going. No.
I'll stay. I'm sacrificing myself.
This is my moment.
Every character sacrificed himself for the quote unquote greater good on that movie. God, it was terrible.
And when you start getting down there to only like two or three people, you're like, which one of us is the greater good? I would seriously be questioning. I'd be like, if y'all motherfuckers think I'm going to be sacrificing myself for you two,
you are exceptionally wrong.
That's right.
Anyways, big old sidetrack there.
But yeah, so, you know, we had Flint.
Yeah.
Had a cool little scene there where he's outside the ship and he like summons all the asteroids and then flings them into the ship. And, you know, Mac got to flip his axe blade around on the.
And to kill Cassius. Yeah. Now we know why he had the axe. And everyone made it. Everyone gets in the ship. Everyone basically makes it up. Well, actually, we don't know.
Right.
We don't know if Daisy, Mac, and Yo-Yo made it back in time.
Except that I'm sure they did.
Yeah, I assume. Yeah. But here's the thing I didn't buy. Essentially, the end scene is Flint and Marcy sitting on the ship looking at the what's left of the Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And do you think they made it? I don't know. I guess we'll find out. The second they went back in time, they should have either disappeared. The Earth should have returned. I mean, something should have happened instantaneously.
But again, there are multiple schools of time travel theory.
That's true. That's true.
Depending on which one
they're
going.
Maybe they went back far enough they haven't prevented the incident from happening yet. Either way, she gives, you know, Flint the little globe.
Well,
and says, here's your map to get started. Like he's going to make the Earth come back together. Yeah.
The thing that gets me is, like, Flint is the key. Oh, okay. I thought Flint was the key as in, like, he's going to come back in time with them.
Yeah, no.
And hold the Earth together from it quaking apart.
Makes sense, actually.
Yeah. No, he's just going to reach out with the force and pull together all the little dust pieces of the monolith.
Right.
From across the cosmos. Okay. All right. You need the monolith to go back in time. What did we accomplish? S.H.I.E.L.D. came to the future.
Yeah. And all they...
To save everybody, according to the prophecy.
Right. All they did was come to the future so they can find out how to go to the past.
Yep. Basically.
They did nothing else.
And killed Cassius. So I guess all the Kree are going to stop bothering them now because, you know, Cassius and his brother are dead. I'm sure Dad's not going to come along and be like, oh, you killed my sons?
But realistically, if they just would have known what they had to do to begin with in the past and stopped it in the past, this future never would have happened to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we don't know that
that's
happened.
I get the concept you had to go to the future to understand the past, maybe, but...
Seems like somebody could have just come back and told them, hey, guess what?
Yeah.
Things are going to get bad.
As Deadpool said, that's just lazy writing.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
Anyhow.
So when it comes back in, what, like 4 weeks?
Yeah.
3 weeks, 4 weeks?
Well, it's the Olympic hiatus for almost every show, I feel like.
Yay, what a great hiatus.
So I watched Taken. I'm all caught up on Taken.
Okay.
It's much better this season than last season. And I like
last
season.
Last season. Yeah.
I was talking to Root about it, and he even likes this season better than last season. And the reason why is because the concept of the show now is last season, Brian Mills was the junior member of a team, of a Black Ops team.
Yep.
This year, he is the team. So essentially,
he is the team.
Well, instead of having a whole team of guys going and doing a mission, it's just him going in. He's got his support back. He's got his support back at home, like we've talked about. You know, you have the lady that runs the ops team that has all the government connections that gets them their jobs and, you know, strings higher up.
Yep.
You have the computer tech guy that can do everything needed with a computer, on and on and on. And then you have his support, his extraction girl. Like, when it's time for him to finish his mission, he needs to get out of there. He gets to the rendezvous point. She's there ready, loaded to bear arms to make sure that they get out of the way safe. And I think that's why it works so well this season, why I'm enjoying it so much. And essentially, each episode has been a new story or a new person he has to rescue or go after or do or whatever. And I think that's why it works. It's almost kind of like the Blacklist, except, you know, it's just
– Tom had been the character?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because Tom was awesome?
Yes, yes. So anyways, I'm just enjoying it. You should check it out if you haven't yet. You could just start watching this season. You don't need to watch last season.
Yeah.
Just start watching this season. I mean, you have to watch episode one so they can establish everything in record time. And
I'm gun-shy of episode one, the way you described.
Yeah, well, then start with episode two because you'll pick up on it. It's not a big deal.
I did not watch Black Lightning this week.
You know,
heartbroken.
Someone told me they think they've given up on it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know that I've given up on it, but I really don't care if I see it right now.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's the same as giving up on it, but, like, I'm not actively like, fuck this show. But
right.
I just, it doesn't hold appeal for me.
I haven't heard anyone say anything enough that makes me want to go back and start watching it.
Yeah.
At this point. So. I watched a movie.
Okay.
I watched a couple movies, but I can't remember if I already talked about one of them or not.
Okay.
The one that I can't remember if I talked about was called The Final Master. It's on Netflix. It's about – I feel like I did.
It sounds
familiar.
At some
point, maybe we talked about it at work.
I don't know.
I don't know. It's about a guy who comes to a village and he wants to open his own school.
Yeah, you talked about it last week.
Okay, yeah, I did. Yeah. All right. Did I talk about Kung Fu Yoga?
No.
Okay, Kung Fu Yoga is also on Netflix. It's a new Jackie Chan flick.
Okay.
New as in it came out last year.
Okay.
This follows...
And 5 years ago in China?
No, actually, last year in China.
Oh, okay.
It's funny, this movie's in English. There's a lot of English in this movie.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, you still have to watch it with subtitles, because they speak Mandarin, Hindi, and English, and maybe even some
crying
Russian
in Spanish.
Yeah. But anyways, it's another... Jackie Chan has a fascination with adventure movies a la Indiana Jones.
Yes.
He's done them in the past already with Armor of God, Armor of Guard Part 2, Operation Condor, you know, the C-12 movie that came out in 2012 for the Chinese New Year. Those were all adventure movies of a guy going on a quest to find this treasure. And this is the same. And the Kung Fu Yoga part of it comes in. They work with a lot of Indian people, and Indian people practice yoga. So yoga is incorporated into the movie, as well as, of course, the standard Jackie Chan martial arts.
I was thinking it was going to be a yoga studio that was a front for a drug smuggler
nope,
or something.
Nope, nope. The story isn't superb by any means. I mean, not the story. The dialogue is not superb by any means. But the dialogue in most of the movies really aren't the best. The story is good enough to get you through where you need to be. There's some great action fighting scenes. There's some nonsensical, and then there's a giant dance number that ends out the movie that you just kind of go, huh, okay, whatever. Jackie Chan can
well,
get away
India,
with it.
I mean.
Yeah, Jackie Chan can get away with it, I guess. But I enjoyed it. I liked it. It was a fun movie.
Yeah.
You know, sit down, bowl of popcorn, little Jackie Chan action. Can't really be a bad day. However, it is a far cry from The Prisoner, which was dark and just...
Right.
Yeah, like dark and awesome in another way. So... I did start watching a movie last night. I watched 40 minutes of it. I've got an hour left to go. The Cloverfield Paradox.
Oh, yeah.
This was interesting to me because I saw the trailer for it the first time during the Super Bowl.
Everybody did because that's the only time that it ever aired.
And the movie dropped on Netflix after the game was over, which I didn't realize that at the time. I like it so far.
Okay.
I like it. It's interesting. Cloverfield is kind of an interesting franchise, if you will, where the first movie was the found footage type movie.
Right.
And then the second movie is like a kidnapped hostage type trapped movie. Yeah, I didn't think it was – I didn't say it was great. And now this one, essentially, Earth is in a crisis. And I don't know yet where it falls in line with the other two movies at this point.
Right.
But Earth is in an energy crisis, almost like in the 70s where there was no gas and this and that. Except the Earth is also on the brink of war. And all these countries –
So it's now.
Right. All these countries – well, except with like war Russia with Germany, Germany with the rest of the world. It's not just Middle Eastern type war in Korea, North Korea. You know, it's the superpowers, if you will. Essentially, the space aspect of this movie is you have a crew of people represented from all the world. There's a Russian. There's a German. There's an American. There's an English fella. There's an Indian guy or whatever. And they're on this space station. I don't – there's – no, Chinese. Zhang Ziyi, isn't it? She's Chinese. Essentially, they're on this space station, and they're trying to get a particle accelerator to work. And
for what purpose?
To solve the Earth world's energy crisis.
Oh.
Because if they can get they can get this particle accelerator functioning – then they can use it as an endless energy supply to power the world.
Did they never see an episode of Flash?
Well, I guess not. So you have – but they're on a space station. And the reason why they're in space doing it is because it's too dangerous to do it on Earth.
Because they've seen Flash.
Probably, yes. So they do a quick montage at the beginning of it, like in the first few minutes of the movie where they establish that they've been in Earth space almost 2 years now trying to get this damn thing to work. And they've tried like 46 times, and it hasn't worked 46 times. And we're on the verge of number 47. So as you can imagine, 47 works, quote fingers. Also, I can't think of his name. He plays he was the dad in crap, I can't remember the name of the show. He's Bullock on Gotham.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, I do.
Redhead guy.
Yeah.
So at one point in the movie, you kind of see him – like on a little screen where he's like, they're watching the news, kind of like one of the guys is watching the news, and he is a conspiracy theorist guy who believes that if they get if they open the particle accelerator, there's with the multi dimensions that there are, it's going to open us up to attacks from monsters and demons and on and on and on and all this other stuff.
Sound reasoning,
which maybe that's where the Cloverfield monster came from. Who knows?
Donald Logue, by the way.
Donald Logue. Thank you.
Without a D at the end, cause it's Donald.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but Donald Logue.
So I am, like I said, about 40 minutes in, and I stopped it to go to bed last night, not because I didn't want to finish it. It was late, and I had to get up early. So I'm going to finish it today. But I'm actually really enjoying it so far.
Good. Yeah. All the stuff that I saw online about it said that basically the whole gimmick of having the trailer drop in the Super Bowl and then have it drop on Netflix right afterwards, they were like, this is the only thing that saved the fact that it's obviously a crappy movie, but it's somehow good in this, you know, doing it this way. They said that if it went to the theaters, it probably would have bombed. But the fact they did it direct to Netflix seems to be good. So
I don't know because Netflix has done a lot of stuff that's been great. But you're right, it's J.J. Abrams, it's Bad Robot and Paramount Pictures that did this.
Yep.
But I mean, I don't know. There's been some direct to Netflix stuff that's been some great, like Altered Carbon, like we talked about at the beginning of the show.
That's what I tried to tell coworker last night who informed me that when Disney streaming comes out, Netflix will never be able to survive. And I laughed at them and said, of course it will. It has things like Altered Carbon. No.
Really?
Correct.
Huh.
Yeah.
But, when Disney streaming comes out, Netflix is going to survive. There's no doubt about it.
Easily.
It's the fact that with the Disney streaming is it going to take over Hulu or not? Because there's been talk that instead of Disney starting their own streaming, where they already own Hulu, they're just going to make it also a Disney thing as well. So either way, depending – if they make it its own thing and it's $5 a month or $7 a month, I'll get it for the kids.
Yeah.
And then, of course, for all the Star Wars and
Marvel. Star Wars, Marvel, yeah.
Um, Because as we can see from at work the other night when Avengers was on and we had no volume on,
yeah,
the room was dead silent.
Yep.
As four of us sat there just...
Until we'd eventually go...
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Puny God.
Even though we have no dialogue, nope. No sound on, no whatsoever, we're all just sitting there staring at it because we've seen it enough.
Yep.
That we don't even need to have the sound on to enjoy it. Yeah, exactly. Like, I kept waiting for the part where he goes... That's my secret. I'm always angry.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
And yeah, you even looked at me and you're like, look.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then he says it. Yeah. Like, he's like, yeah. yeah. So anyway, did you watch any movies?
No.
We got a few trailers to talk about.
Then we get into the big one, right?
What's the big one?
This Is Us.
Oh, yeah. Solo.
Yeah,
I watched the teaser. I watched the other one. I don't care. I'm going to go see it.
I'm going to go see it, but, you know, it didn't excite me like Rogue One did. It didn't excite me like The Force Awakens did.
Yeah.
The kid doesn't look like Han Solo.
Okay, all right.
His hair's too poofy and, like, you know, he doesn't look like a gutter trash rat scoundrel. He looks like a pretty boy. Like, he belongs in a boy band.
Donald Glover looks like Lando, though.
He sure fucking does. That's why everyone keeps doing, you know, Lando, a Star Wars movie.
I'm still going to go see it. I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
I watched a trailer for a new show coming to Netflix. It takes place in 1996 called Everything Sucks. Did you watch that?
No.
It's great.
Is it?
It looks really cool. My favorite part is at the end of the trailer where they're all around the computer and you hear, ding, ding, ding. The guy's going, hold on. It'll just take a second. It's almost there. And then it finally does, and it loads the dancing baby video, which I had forgotten about until I saw it. And then they're all laughing. It's like, man, I love the net, you know. But it's kind of it's a dramedy that takes place. All the episodes drop in February or March. No, it's March, I think, maybe. I can't remember now. March or February. I feel like it's March 8th or 9th or something like that. But yeah, it looks great. It literally takes place in 1996. I mean, I was 16, 17 then, so that's perfect.
Yeah.
You know, they're sitting there at the lunch table at school discussing Alanis Morissette. How is it ironic if they got married on the day when it rains? Because they had the wedding in the rain. Don't you even know what irony means? You know, like, they're yep. debating it. It's, yeah. So that looks awesome. Just because of...
I'll check that out.
Yeah. Oh, you know what it is? Jessica Jones drops in March.
Yes.
That's what it is.
I remember that trailer.
Yes. So, and I watched the Jessica Jones trailer. And I'm not going to lie. I didn't get overly excited, but I'm still going to watch it.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't care.
I wasn't like, oh, this sucks. But, yeah, I'm going to check it out. I had to watch it at work. So, again, sound was off. But at the end, I've got to ask you, like, at one point, there's somebody who's, like, clapping off screen.
There's no dialogue. They didn't. I'm like, is that David Tennant?
Right. That's what you're wondering.
Yeah. So, I don't know.
Talking about ghosts from the past.
Yeah. I didn't hear any dialogue.
I'm wondering if it could be him or if, like, part of his final gift to her is that he's, like, in her head, kind of.
Oh, geez, maybe. Like the ghost on her shoulder that no one sees or whatever.
Yeah.
Could be. Deadpool meets Cable.
Oh, my God. That was just what I was looking for in a Deadpool trailer.
Oh, same here. Yeah.
Like, perfect. And as I pointed out to you, I love the fact that they recreated the Toy Story thing.
Reach for the sky!
That's that little nod to the fact that Disney owns them now. He even had Woody's outfit on. Oh,
yeah. Great. No, that was great.
And you know, his whole comments about, you know, this is the best that we could do. Come on, this is a trailer, for God's sake.
Yeah.
And then they finally get
the effects aren't even done yet.
Oh, it's done? Oh, okay. No, carry on.
That was uncharacteristically fast.
Yeah.
Josh Brolin is Cable.
It looks like in this one they actually have a lot of not the effects. I mean, the effects are good, but it looks like they've got a whole serious side playing for Cable, like he's getting out of the future and stuff.
Yeah.
They have confirmed that in the one shot where they're coming out of the back of the plane, that is X-Force. We just don't know which X-Force members it is.
Nice.
But they've said, yes, this is the start of X-Force, so yay.
Awesome.
Yep.
Yeah, the Deadpool trailer was
I love at the end when they both pull up the gun, Blind Al's like over the sign. He's like, put that back over there.
Yeah. And it was a Red Band trailer they didn't announce was a Red Band.
I know. Because I was like, oh, how are they going to do this? And then when he dropped the first F-bomb, I'm like, yeah.
Great stuff.
Great stuff.
Great stuff. Great can't stuff. Wait. Can't wait.
Now, the exact opposite of great stuff, can't wait, was the Venom teaser.
Yeah.
That did nothing for me.
When's Tom Hardy going to do something where he doesn't have something covering his mouth when he talks?
It's true, isn't
Jeez,
it?
Jeez, I'm crow. And he can't understand to begin with sometimes. Doesn't help when he's now been garbled and muffled.
Yeah. Or the fact that, much like Tom Cruise, he's like 5'5" and tries to play a 6'2" guy.
Oh, I didn't realize he had height issues as well.
Yeah.
Tom Cruise.
Oh, yeah. He's short. That's why a lot of the scenes in Batman, he'd be like standing on steps while Christian Bale was down on steps.
Ah, okay. All right. I guess. Okay. Fair enough. This is us?
Well, you sent me a trailer for Bad Samaritan.
Oh, my God. Yes. I didn't put it in my notes because I meant... Did you watch it?
I did.
Oh, doesn't that look great?
That looks great. I don't think we're going to see it over here. It said theaters in March.
Yeah, March 30th. David Tennant is a bad guy.
A bad guy.
Yeah, and basically what it is as the trailer shows us, there's this kid and his buddy, and their scam is they take people's rich cars.
They're valet parkers.
Yeah, when they're at a restaurant, click home, go to the people's house, look around, and rob it.
Yep.
And when he goes to David Tennant's house, he finds a girl tied up.
Yep. And she's like, help me, help me. And he leaves her.
He has to leave her because they don't want to get caught. So he tries to turn it into the police. And he's like, well, what were you doing in his home? And he goes, I was robbing it.
Yeah.
So that kid is the bad Samaritan.
Yes.
Because he's the guy he's a thief. And now he's basically turning himself in because he's like, this girl needs to be rescued. So he's putting someone else in front of him. And then as they show us in the trailer, the police show up and she's gone. And they can't prove
now
anything.
It's gonna, no.
Yes. Yes.
And you just see clips and clips and clips of him.
Evil.
Oh, he's evil.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. That's going to be some good stuff.
I'm excited about that.
Me too.
Yep. Very excited about that.
Yep.
And then we're at This Is Us.
And like I said, I didn't watch the most recent one, so we can just kind of...
We'll just watch the Super Bowl one.
Yeah.
Which, based on the fact that this is finally the episode where Dad dies.
And we get the full thing. It's not like... It's not that they tease it. It's not that they, you know, touch upon it a little bit or oh, this is what it's... They give us the full thing.
Yeah.
And it was friggin' powerful.
And it takes place during the Super Bowl.
Yep. And I like the fact that in the modern time... They're showing clips of the current Super Bowl.
Yes.
Like, I recognize those plays. I recognize what was going on in the background.
Exactly. And it basically is, and the fact that Dad died on the Super Bowl and how the show's always been about football and, you know, everything else, it makes sense that they aired the episode after the Super Bowl.
Yep.
Which I did like during one commercial I saw. It's a special episode of This Is Us airing after the Super Bowl. Make sure you set extra time on your DVR in case the game runs over.
Yes.
You don't want to miss this. Like, yes. I like that they actually gave you a heads up on that.
Because it's true. Like, yes. It started like a half an hour late because of that.
Emotionally powerful episode as far as we see the fire.
Yep.
I'm just going to break it down. If you haven't seen it, stop listening. You see the fire. Dad rescues everyone. They get out of the house, which you expect him. I thought he was going to die in the fire.
Right. Well, he rescued everybody, and they really went into detail about it.
Yes.
It wasn't just like he grabbed him and threw him out. Like, the whole thing with Kate and her bed and having to pick up the mattress
and the mattress
himself.
Catching on fire and getting everyone to their room and then lowering them down on the sheet.
Yep.
And
like, they really went into detail.
And then he's on the roof, and you hear the dog barking. And Kate's like, come on, boy, come on. And you see Dad.
Oh, that's a calm version of it. Like, she was frantic.
You see Dad look at Kate and just be like, shit.
Yeah.
So he goes back in the house.
Yeah, he goes, I think I hear him. I think I can get him.
Yeah. He goes back in the house. And then, of course, a few seconds, not straight away, but a few seconds later, whatever it is, smoke, fire comes up out of that window.
Yep.
Everyone's freaking out, and then I think that's it. He's dead.
Yep.
And then he comes out the front door
with the dog,
and he's got the
pillowcase full
and a pillowcase with photo albums in it, and the necklace that she had on with the moon and everything.
Yep.
And
because he's friggin' Superman.
Because really. We find out.
No, but
he's he didn't die then, and it was almost like, oh, if they dragged this out.
Right. Exactly. You're like, son of a bitch.
If they dragged this out. And they didn't.
Nope.
No. But see, storyline wise, it didn't progress a lot.
But it
It did, but it didn't. Because we see what's happening.
It was just that one night.
In the future time, we're seeing how everyone deals with it.
Yep. Because we've already seen them kind of do their Super Bowl thing when we had the first season.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we see that, you know, Kate likes to beat herself up.
Kate beats herself up because she has guilt and feels like it's her fault because Dad went back in for the dog.
Not just Dad went back in for the dog, but in that moment, he looked down at me and didn't want to disappoint me.
Exactly. You have Kevin who drinks himself to, he gets, as he puts it, I get blackout drunk and sleep with the hottest girl that have sex with me.
Yep.
Can't do that this year. Nope. And Randall does it the opposite way. The Super Bowl was his dad's favorite day of the year, so every year it's going to be a party.
Yep.
And he puts on these huge, elaborate parties, and even when his family thinks it's ridiculous, he's like, nope, this is what I'm doing.
Yep.
And Mom makes you know, his favorite lasagna, and then sits and eats it while watching the Super Bowl.
Yep. And Miguel gives her space.
Miguel gives her space and goes and hangs out with his friends.
Yep. Yeah.
Kind of cool.
Pretty cool, yeah.
Now, were you disappointed with his death?
No, I was not.
This is so, for those who haven't seen it or have seen it or whatever, it doesn't matter, who don't watch the show but are listening. He's sitting in the hospital room. She goes out to go get some candy or something from the vending machine because
make
a couple of calls. And she does, and while she's there, you can see some scurrying in the background, and they're going in his room, and there's some panic going on and on and on, and then she makes a couple phone calls. Oh, yeah, we'll be leaving here soon. We'll be back. Don't worry about it. And then she goes to the vending machine, and then this is where I had a problem with it because she bought a Mars bar, and it's not an old-school Mars bar that doesn't exist anymore because that's the Mars bar she bought was – the English version of the Mars bar from the United Kingdom and Canada, which is essentially like a Milky Way, not the old school Mars bar like Jamie Farr used to advertise on TV with the two almonds on the top and the nougat and everything. Anyhow, she buys a Mars bar. And I'm an ass or whatever.
No.
And then turns around and the doctor's like, who, by the way, that doctor always plays some sort of bad guy.
He does. Yeah.
That actor always plays some always sort of villain. Bad guy. He's always a villain, you know, so whenever I see him, I immediately think he's going to be evil.
Like, oh.
Yeah, yeah. He's not evil in this, but he's just like, essentially, let's sit down. I'm really sorry. Part of the reasons of, you know, he has a lot of smoke inhalation and put a lot of strain on his heart. He had a massive cardiac event and he died. And she's just like, I think you're talking to the wrong person.
Yeah. She takes a bite of the candy bar.
Yeah. What she talks about later is that's the first thing she did. And she feels guilty about it to this day.
Yep.
Was that in that episode or the next
one? Nope, that was in that.
Okay. And she feels guilty about it. And then eventually she goes in and he's just there dead.
Yep.
And we don't even see his body. We see a reflection of his body.
Right.
So we don't actually get to see his death.
Nope.
I feel a little cheated because of that.
Really?
Yeah. I feel a little cheated.
I don't.
It's almost like he died off screen.
Yep.
It's like this whole show for a season and a half has been about Dad, his death, and how it affected the family and how they moved on. And then we don't get to see his death. We just see that he, you know, we just know that he's dead.
And I think the way I see it is that that's kind of what we were expecting. Or they're trying to show us essentially what it was like for these people because none of them got to see it either. The last time any of them saw him, he was fine. He was alive. He was coughing a little bit and he was, you know, sitting on a hospital bed for her or the kids saw him, you know, they didn't even take him by ambulance. Mom just took him away. So they all saw him as fine and then they didn't get to see his death either. It was just done. So in a way, that's kind of what they're giving us is
– I didn't think of it that way. That's really good.
And so they probably feel cheated as well, you know?
Okay. All right. I can get behind that then.
Okay.
I didn't think of it that way. Yeah. Kate's response was she goes, well, it's less sad this way. And I'm like, but don't we want it to be sad? That's what the show is. The show is about watching and people crying.
Yeah.
You know?
Ugly crying.
Ugly crying. But yeah, I was a great episode.
Yeah.
I'm glad that we finally seen – quote unquote, seen Dad's death because now we can move on to see what else happened.
The other episode because the other episode had the first ever flash forward, didn't it?
Yes, it did.
Yeah.
So oh, great, you did. Yay!
Yes, I did. Yeah.
So the next episode is all about the funeral.
Yes.
And my wife loved the fact that they went to the Bruce Springsteen concert the day of the funeral because he bought them the tickets.
Right.
However, she was disappointed that we didn't get to see the Bruce Springsteen concert.
Right.
Yeah. But yes, we got to see the first flash forward, which was brilliantly done.
Actually, no, that wasn't the last episode. But anyway, yeah, I'm getting them confused. But yeah.
No, it was the most recent one. We watched them both.
No, because on the Super Bowl episode, Tess was starting to feel like she kept wanting to take the phone off the
hook. So I just ruined it for you.
No, that's fine.
Okay.
So, yeah, Tess
yes.
took the phone off the hook because she was afraid of
yes.
being less.
Because we're seeing the whole episode. We see this little boy and the co-sorcerer being like, oh, I found a family for you. And the assumption is it's going to be...
because this family, this show loves to do that. Like
yes.
the old couple
yes.
with the crock pot.
Yes. We think it's going to be, you know, Randall and his family. This is going to be their new.
They're going to have a boy.
Yes.
You know,
because he even says earlier, like, we need to get a boy in this house.
Yep.
You know, and but then Tess is just like, no, I think fostering is awesome. I think it's wonderful. I
yep.
think people need to do this. And then, you
and
know,
then we do the whole, you know, like, it's,
see, I thought that was the next
up.
Episode.
Because
no, okay.
it was right at the end, because they're building right. up, building up. And then the door knocks, you know, she's, Mom
yes.
picks up the phone and she's like, oh, we didn't expect to hear from you. Yeah, sure. Come
Absolutely.
On over.
Come on over.
And
yeah.
My first thought was, no, social yeah. workers don't work on the weekend.
It's late. But well, no, but you never know. If they're placing a child, they could do an emergency placement on a Sunday night. DHS,
no.
DHS loves to wait till Friday afternoon to pull
oh,
kids out
oh,
of people's
absolutely.
Homes and do an emergency placement if they need to. So,
so
not the little boy we saw. That wouldn't happen, but an emergency placement
right,
could happen.
Right.
So, yeah.
But then they open the front door, and you expect it to be them, and it's Deja.
Yeah. So that was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
And she's there, and obviously something bad happened.
Right.
But he had given this whole speech about, you know, when you have your fancy job, I'm going to come to your work, and we're going to have dinner together or lunch together in your fancy
once
office once a week, you know, in your fancy office and blah, blah, blah. And then when you see the door open and the lady, the social worker, leads the little boy into the white couple.
Yep.
And you're like, that's not Randall. And then the lady goes, hey, your dad's here for lunch. And then Randall, old man Randall, steps into view.
Who still looks like young man Randall.
Right,
just
but
sticker
still,
glasses.
Right, yeah.
Yep. And he's like, hey, Tess, how's it going? You're like, oh, it's a flash forward.
Yeah,
oh.
I marked out big time.
Yeah.
I thought that was awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, well, the next episode you haven't seen yet
yes.
is all about the funeral.
Yes. And I remember seeing the preview.
And there's more to it than that.
Okay.
But it's good.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's a great show.
This whole episode essentially is built like it's called The Car because it's about their Jeep Wagoneer.
Oh, nice.
And it's just like brilliant.
Kind of like when we got that opening monologue towards the end of the fifth season of Supernatural about the
yes,
Impala.
About the Impala, kind of, except yeah. it's a whole episode, kind of.
Nice.
So.
Nice.
It's done really well.
Cool.
Yeah.
I think that's a show.
I think it is a show. I think it is.
All right.
You can find me on the Twitter machine at Superstar Mouse.
Still on a machine.
I read it somewhere recently.
I'm the Quantum Geek, G33K, on Twitter.
The show.
The platform.
The show is at What Did You Watch? And Facebook is What Did You Watch This Week. So thanks.
Thanks, everybody. We'll talk to you next week.